Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, a former Garda member was fired in 1982 over alleged homosexual activity. That's what the Irish Times was reporting today. The man, he still wants to remain anonymous. He campaigned for years for the force to admit that he was dismissed because of his sexuality. Ireland in the 80s was a very different place to the Ireland of today, and devastating events happened to young gay men in 1982. Charles Self, an RTE set designer, was brutally murdered in his home, and no one has ever been prosecuted for his killing. Declan Flynn was kicked and beaten to death with sticks in Fairview Park in Dublin in 1982, murdered by a gang of so-called queer-bashing teenagers. They were sentenced on manslaughter charges, and all of the sentences were suspended. Frank MacDonald is the former environment editor of the Irish Times. He's the author of Truly Frank, a Dublin memoir, and he's here in studio with me. Frank, you're very welcome. To many
Thank
people,
you.
Those events of 1982 are now history, but you lived through them as well. You grew up in Dublin, you lived through this period. You were a young gay man. What was it like to be a young gay man in Dublin in 1982?
Well, I mean, it was, the overall context was very dark, as you said. You know, we had not only those terrible murders, and I knew Charles Self, and you know, was kind of caught up in it as well, because the guards at the time kind of did a kind of a dragnet of the gay community in Dublin. They had detectives outside some of the more famous gay bars like Bartley Dunn's and so on, just spotting people and indeed visiting guys who would have been in maybe Charles Self's contact book or something like that. I think that's how they came to me. I was interviewed by them as well.
Were you?
I was at the time. And I kind of formed the impression that they were on a kind of a fishing expedition, really.
They had no leads.
Cadair Asmal, the former president of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, said at the time, something rather odd is emerging. It appears to me that in certain cases there is a desire to draw up a profile on gays in Dublin. And so, you know, when I read that story about that poor
young, very young guard in his early
20s.
Starting out on his career.
And just before his probation period came to an end, some senior officers arrived at the Garda station where he was working and demanded that he get out of his uniform.
Took his uniform back and sent him on his way.
And he's never recovered from that. And that is something that has really blighted his life. And the fact that he still won't say who he is, he won't identify himself in public, you know, just shows how deep that scar is, really. But, you know, there was that going on and you know, like the idea of police turning up at your home or your place of work as they did. I mean, some guys would have been living with their families.
Homosexual acts were illegal in 1982. People were in the closet.
Exactly, they were. And you know, there was, of course, among the more militant gays at the time, there was a demand, you know, for people to get out of the closet and into the streets and all of that. And that was something that I wasn't prepared to do at all. I was just almost like a bystander in relation to all of this. I didn't take part in demonstrations on the streets demanding gay rights.
Was that because you were afraid, Frank?
I was, yeah. I think I was. You know, there was a terrible fear that you'd be blackmailed, you know, that your cover would be blown. So, you know, you tended to keep your head down and just get on with your own life.
And I suppose you're a journalist. Easier is probably the wrong word, but easier to be a journalist and gay in 1982 than to be a Garda.
Well, I think that's probably true, you know, but I still find it shocking that, you know, Commissioner Drew Harris admitted today that it was for alleged homosexual activity, not even actual homosexual activity, but alleged. I think that some of the detectives that had been stalking the gay bars, at least on the outside, must have spotted him going in, and photographs were being taken of people and all the rest of it. So that's maybe how it arose, but it's had a terrible impact on his life. And then later on, as you mentioned, Declan Flynn was murdered in Fairview Park, and you know, really the most You know, I suppose for us, the most shocking thing of all was not just the murder by a group of, as you said, queer-bashing teenagers, but the fact that they got suspended sentences in the end.
Convicted
of manslaughter rather than murder. And the judge at the time, Judge Sean Gannon, declared in his verdict, suspending their sentences, that this, that what they had done could never have been regarded as murder. I mean, that we found that absolutely shocking, that somebody could be attacked in a public park in Dublin and beaten to death by homophobic teenagers, and that this wasn't a murder.
And even with a manslaughter conviction, yeah, that it didn't carry a term in jail.
No,
manslaughter
it didn't.
Can carry up to a life sentence.
Well, exactly, yeah. But, I mean, you know, no term in jail. And you know, no wonder the judge's verdict at the time was regarded as a license to kill. But I suppose one positive thing that came out of that was that after the sentence was delivered in the following year, it was in 1983, the year of the abortion referendum, that a group of about 500 or 400 people, including kids, men, women and children, marched in protest against street violence against homosexuals and from Liberty Hall to Fairview Park. And the that was the beginning of the open gay rights movement in Ireland. And when you consider that the whole situation has changed so dramatically since then. Not only was the 1861 Offences Against the Person Act, which made homosexual acts illegal, repealed by the great Maura Geoghegan Quinn in 1993, but you had later on, much more recently, civil partnerships were legalised between same-sex couples. And finally, marriage we had the referendum
on
marriage equality.
It has taken a very long time. And also,
it took,
of course, the cases that David Norris took with Mary Robinson
David Norris deserves
court.
Enormous credit for what
but
he did.
You said something there, and we were talking about the violence in Fairview Park, the violence against Charles Self, violence on the streets against gay men. Was that commonplace?
It would have been fairly commonplace at the time. I mean, it wouldn't be happening every night, but I mean, in places around alleyways and laneways around the more better known gay pubs in Dublin, like Bartley Dons and so on, there were incidents of people being just targeted and beaten up for being gay. And especially if you were wearing a kind of a floral print shirt or something, you know, a bit
not
outrageous.
Known in Dublin in 1983.
You know, yeah, probably not, when everything was very, very, very dark.
And were you hassled by peace? I know you say you were questioned, as so many others were at the time, after Charles was murdered. But was there hassle from police generally?
Not that I remember, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, they weren't. I mean, I suppose that it was the Charles Self murder that gave them the kind of license to conduct this, you know, profiling of the gay community in Dublin. And I think, you know, that was the impression that I had when they interviewed me. And, you know, I was kind of taken aback because, like, I couldn't, you know, the suspect was believed to be a young man in his early 20s, perhaps. Yeah. But, you know, like I was already, whatever I was at the time, I was over 30. Mm. So, you know, like I couldn't have been a suspect. But I mean, the very idea of the guards arriving and carrying out an interview with you, you know, it was just so shocking.
In the short time we have left, it would just be nice, because nobody has ever been brought to justice for the murder of Charles Self. Tell me a little bit about him.
He was a wonderful character. I mean, he was a great... He had an impish sense of humour, and I described him in the book as being, you know, effervescent, and I think that that's the way he was. And every Saturday, I remember, we used to meet in the Bailey pub in Duke Street and have a great old laugh about everything. You know, because you had to see the funny side of things because it was so bleak in Ireland then. Mm. And, you know, I was at parties in his house where he ended up being murdered.
He had moved here, hadn't he? He'd come from Glasgow.
He was from Glasgow and never lost his Scottish accent or his Scottish sense of humour either. And, you know, really fitted in very well. He was just great fun to be with. And the parties that he had out in the Muse House that he shared in Monkstown with Vincent Hanley, who used to be a great, famous radio DJ in RTE. Yeah,
well remembered,
and very
I think,
well remembered indeed,
and
on television later on, and you know, then that whole thing was followed by, you know, the I suppose, the gay, what became known as the gay plague at the time. AIDS hit the scene in 1983-84. And, you know, people that we knew, including Vincent Hanley, you know, died from it.
Let me just finish, Frank. And I think we have a little bit of tape of the Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan. And this is an apology given on the 25th anniversary, I think, of the decriminalisation of homosexuality.
I extend a sincere apology to all of those people, to their family, to their friends, to any person who felt the hurt and isolation created by those laws.
And that was the Minister for Justice there, Charlie Flanagan. Frank MacDonald, former environment editor with the Irish Times, author of Truly Frank, a Dublin memoir, among many books from you indeed. Thanks for coming into us this evening.